You know, we have the Holy Spirit always loves to peel away the natural so we look more into the spiritual. But the enemy always likes to reestablish the natural and build walls between us and the spiritual. He does everything he can to encage us. He encages us with fear, with pride, with arrogance, with anxiousness. All of these things he tries to encage us, even with sicknesses and diseases and addictions. He tries to encage us, and the purpose of encaging us is so we can't see beyond it. So the only thing we're focused on is what we can do for us. Now, there may be an intent of what we can do for God, but we never get to do it because we always get too busy doing what we can do for us. In doing so, it moves us out of God's timeline, moves us out of his will and his lifeline. And you can only stay out of the lifeline so long before you're taken out, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it is the prayers of the saints that keep those attached to the lifeline while they're out of the lifeline. Does everybody understand? In other words, they may not grab hold of it, but they're near it. So God is always, remember, God is always, he's omnipotent. He's before us in all things. Even when we make a mistake, we do something stupid that's going to sway us out of God's timeline, he goes before us to try and bring and arrange things to get us back in. Because God's will is God's time. God's time is our lifeline. Amen? It's our lifeline. And you can only stay so long out of that lifeline before you're taken out. And in that, we've got to understand something, that in this lifeline, it's called in him. Say, in him. In him. Everything is in him. Would you turn to Acts 17? In him. Get him a Bible. Come on, you're called to be a teacher. Hallelujah. Acts 17. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Is everybody there? In verse 22, would you read it with me? Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very what? Religious." In other words, form of acts. People get religious because they believe that their works are going to get them into heaven. They knock on your door.
Hey, anybody in there?
Anyways, I'm not going to go there. It's relationship that gets you into heaven, amen? Not religion. Our works should manifest our relationship. They should confirm our relationship. But it is, amen? Your works confirm your relationship, because we do things because we love him, we're his. Let me share something with you before we go any further. There's God's first arena with me and you as son and daughter. See, because that's family. When you're a son and daughter, when you know who you are in Christ as a son or a daughter, then the next thing is stewardship. See, because then, because you know that they're his, but God trusts you with his things, so you become his steward. When you become his steward, it's associated with sonship and daughter, relationship. That's what a steward is. It is somebody that he can trust holding his things. Then the next level that's furthest away is servant. Does everybody get it? So there's son, stewards, and servants. A servant is one who serves the steward. A steward is one who serves the father. And there's a lot of servants out there because they're not serving the father. They may think they're serving the father, but they're really not. They're only serving a steward, because they haven't earned the responsibility to become a steward. That's somebody who's responsible for the things of God. So the only thing they can do is be servants. Amen? But that's why the sons of God, that's what creation groans, waiting for the sons of God. Not for the stewards and not for the servants, for the sons of God. Those who are his, because they are one with him. They're in his timeline. Everything revolves around in the timeline of God, which is known as his tabernacle also. Everybody all right? Cool. Okay. Verse 23. He says, of course, "I perceive that all things are very religious, for as I was passing through the and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar that with this inscription, the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands or in idols. He doesn't dwell in this facility until we come and change the atmosphere and make a place for him to dwell. Nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed what? Times and boundaries of their dwellings. In other words, he's always trying to get you into his timeline. So that they should what? Seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Though he's not far from each one of us, but not everyone is in his timeline because they're not in his will, are they? And if they're not in his will or his timeline, they're not in him. So that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him, everyone say in him, we live, move, and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, we are also his what? Also his what? Offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but not anymore. But now commands. In other words, those times are done with. He's no longer in that arena. He has made a way. Why? Because he came to set the timeline back in order. And by setting the timeline back in order, and he's left everything for me and you to get back into that timeline because it's in him, we have no excuse. That's why he says, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Is anybody with me? Commands everyone to what? Repent. That means get back under the blood, which you get you back under him, in his will, and in his timeline. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Because he has appointed a day on which he will what? Judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So again, we live, we have our being, not only in him, but there's an area because not only are we in what he created, but there's a specific timeline in him where you and I abide in him. That's why the Bible says, get your mind, don't conform to this world, but renew your mind, reset, rethink. Let the mind of Christ have dominion in you because that's what's going to assist you in getting in God's timeline. Why? Because without that, you're not going to do God's will. Without that, he who dwells in the secret place abides under the Most High, right? That's God's timeline. In him. Everything you see where it says in him is always associated with his perfect will of his timeline. Everything. You know, there was a testimony that I was reading about, and there was a gentleman that was taken to heaven. And while he was taken to heaven, he saw three streams. Rose, like three streams of people going to heaven. There were one on the left and ones on the right, and then there were ones in the center. And the ones in the center were going through this like tunnel tube, but he could see through it. And while the one guy was being taken to heaven, he was asking the angel, what about these here? And they were the ones that were in God's perfect will. They were in the perfect timeline, and they were going to heaven. And then there were ones that were on the left, and then there were ones that we're on the right. He's got a good, he's got an acceptable, and he has a perfect will. Each one is associated with a lifeline or a timeline. And one will produce 30, 60, or 100%. Amen? 100-fold. So in this, you and I have a choice. Your cooperation, abiding in him, will determine what timeline you're in. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, we just did a teaching on lifeline, which we talked all about this. But there's more to it. We got to understand that in him is where everything is. In him. And if you're not in him, you're out of him. You're either in or you're out. There's no gray area. Gray area is heading to hell. Amen? That's why it's a dangerous place to be. That's where people are lukewarm. That is a dangerous place to be. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 1, would you read it with me, please? We then are what? Workers together with him. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of what? Salvation. That acceptable time was a place predestined, a reasonable time where God saw could implement or impart salvation's timeline to all men in God according to his will and his purpose. See, you and I have a call, we have a purpose, and we have a destiny. Now, everybody's function may be a little bit different, but there is still the foundation, your call. You are called, you have a purpose, and you have a destiny. Amen? And those areas we want to fill. You are called to battle. Everyone say, I'm called to battle. Listen, you cannot fulfill God's will if you're not battling. It's impossible. If you're not one who battles, you will never fulfill the will of God. You'll be easily swayed, manipulated, and intimidated. You are called to battle. This is not religion. See, religion is nothing, it's foo-foo. Religion relies on God only loves, but they never mention his judgment. Does everybody get this? Oh, God loves you. It's okay. Go ahead and do whatever you want. You know, there's not one unbeliever in hell. Everyone that's there believes, but it's too late. And that's the reality. You know, hell's not spoken about enough. It was made for the angels and Satan, Lucifer. But people who are going to act like them are going there too. The word says only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of God. That's bottom line. Amen? We're not here to have a Bible study. We're here to have a training session. We're to be trained up. And we must fulfill the call. Look, again, your call is associated with the foundation of your calling, which is you are called to battle. You have a purpose. Your purpose should be to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to utilize the talents and abilities God's given you to infiltrate the world system, to be an expression of him who sent you and a hand of rescue. Those are the areas. That is the foundation of what we're to do. Not our of everything that we're doing in our functions. In other words, everybody has a different function. Amen? Everybody has different talents and abilities. But if you don't battle, you'll never fulfill God's will. Why? The Bible says, resist the devil. Amen? Well, first of all, it says submit to God. So if you can't submit to God, how can you resist the devil? It's impossible. And remember, the powers of darkness, their influence is to prevent you from getting in God, abiding in him, doing his will, his timeline, and your lifeline. He is the Alpha and Omega, isn't he? Remember, the first thing God created was time. And he placed us in it. Everything revolves around his time, not our time. Amos. Anybody know where Amos is? He's right next to you. Hallelujah. Now, acceptable times, very, very important. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? Good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. In that perfect will of God is the lifeline of God. And every one of us has a choice of which one we're going to go in. We're going to either go into the good, amen, the acceptable, or the perfect. It depends on your what? Cooperation. Your cooperation is associated with your obedience. That's why Jesus was obedient unto what? Death. He's the one who fulfilled the perfect will of God. He was the example of it. He didn't get swayed. He worked. Amen. He was a carpenter. He served. He was a steward. He was an example of me and you. You know what one of the things he did? He abided. He not only abided in prayer with the Father, he abided in the scriptures, and he abided in the fellowship. Those three areas of abiding, when you lack them, you fall from God's timeline. It's that simple. Listen, the enemy's not stupid. He can outwit anyone. And without God's presence, we can become real dumb. We can become really blinded. You know, we had a Friday night anointing service here. And let me tell you something. The presence of God was so wonderful. And it was like everybody that was here, it was like got pushed into God's timeline. Everybody was drunk. And there was favor the next day in everything we did. Favor. Why? Because we were pushed in his timeline. And there was favor in everything. Everybody was peaceful, joyful. I don't know if you saw all that or not. I did. I didn't get calls like crazy. It was a really good day. But let me tell you, that's what's so important about getting in fellowship, abiding in him. And the assembling, the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Don't be deceived. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. That means lack of truth. Praise God. And you know that when you're, you know when things are right with you. You know when you're in God's timeline. You just know it. You can't explain it. You can't read about it. There is no heavy revelation or visitation. You just know that you're in God's timeline because there's something that occurs. Peace, joy, and righteousness. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3. In verse 3, I need us all to speak this together. Are you ready? Amos 3:3. Now I want you to picture yourself walking with the Lord. Amen? And in him is his timeline. Because it's in him is his will, and in him is the lifeline for me and you. So it says here, can two walk together unless they what?
Agree.
Unless they what?
Agree.
Agree. See, that's why the Lord left the Holy Spirit for me and you. There he is. Always. He's always trying to get us in the lifeline of God, in his timeline. Listen, conviction is different than condemnation. The Holy Spirit says, yo, little slap on the head. Come on, get back in line. He won't bother you again. He'll wait. See, kids, then the enemy comes and says, well, it must be okay. There wasn't another conviction. It just must be okay. And then we keep doing the same stupid stuff again. We keep thinking, we're all right. And that's exactly where he wants to get you, that you think you're all right. You know what he wants to do? He wants you to think that you're all right without being in him. I'm okay. I have money. I have a house. I have this. I have that. I have that. I have this. Somebody understand? I have a job. I'm okay. But doesn't he said, he calls us wretched and miserable because we think that we're okay. But we are wretched and miserable. Saturday, in our event here, I walked over to 7-Eleven, and there was a girl standing there. And I walked in, and the Holy Spirit says, she's miserable. I said, what do you want me to do? He says, tell her. So I walked outside, and I stood before her, and I looked at her. I said, you're miserable. She goes, yes, I am. Oh! She just, poof. I said, whoa. I said, all right, well, we can change that if you'd like. You know? And I spoke with her for a little bit, and then I brought her here and turned her over to Viv for a little bit because I can only associate with the female so long, and then phew, over to another female. You're welcome. It's wisdom. But in that, you know, well, she was, and here I was thinking, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, she's so far out of God's timeline. And that's all the Lord wants to do is get you in his timeline by abiding in him. See, that peace, joy, and there's no anxiety. There's no stress. There's no fear. There's whatever. Whatever. Man, don't you know you got to, whatever. Why? Because you have such trust in him. You don't live from the past. You live from the future. This world ain't part of you anymore, even though you live in it. See, when the world is still a part of you, you're still a part of it. Doesn't he say come out from among them and be separate? See, he's trying to get us into that place where we agree with him in everything. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. He loves us. But don't trample that love and take advantage of that love by thinking that you can do whatever you want and get away with it. Because what you sow is what you reap. And what you sow today is waiting for you tomorrow. Listen, the greatest thing that is we know is that when we please him, what an awesome thing to know that you please him. Does everybody get that? When you know that you're pleasing him, you're in God's timeline. But let me tell you, you know when you're not. And you can justify it, reason, compromise it, blame everybody else. But you're the one that has the 2 feet. Genesis 1. In him. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you in him? You be in him? You be. Is it wannabe and willabe? Genesis 1:27. Would you read it with me? So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. In other words, man was created in God's timeline. Does everybody get it? That was his timeline. It was his perfect will. They were created in him. Amen. In him. For a purpose. In Genesis 4. It says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I'm not going to get into all this. But anyways. Then she bore again and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock, of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. First of all, they knew exactly what to do. One was rebellious, one was submissive. Why? Because God killed an animal and put it, does everybody get it, on Adam and Eve. He put their skin on them. Why? Because he shed blood to restore, bring covenant back. So Cain and Abel saw mom and dad do sacrifices already. So they knew what to do. One was obedient, one wasn't, regardless of where they came from. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Let me tell you, when you are out of God's time, out of that timeline, your countenance is different. I have talked to people that had like, whoa, huh? They're out of God's timeline. They can't receive, they cannot comprehend, and they cannot understand. Every time God tries to get them in the timeline, through scripture, through teachings, through whatever, they reason because the wall has been built so wide now that it's going to take time to break through. It will take sowing, sowing, and sowing in the Spirit. It will take fellowship, fellowship. It takes more and more of God's presence. It's like a truck that's been mudding out there. It doesn't get washed the first time. She has to go through it multiple times to get washed. Hallelujah. Woo! So, hallelujah. So the Lord said to Cain, verse 6, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Does everybody get this? Why? Because he came out of God's timeline. He fell out of abiding in him. Countenance changes. Man, you know when somebody's out there. That's what religion does. It moves people out of God's timeline. That's why there's that. Listen, the people who can believe once saved, always saved are not in God's timeline. Why? Because it's not gospel. Well, I'm always saved. In other words, I can get any timeline I want and just go home. No way. God is love, but he's just. And his throne room is established on justice and righteousness, not on sin, on justice and righteousness. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In him. You know that there's a prayer that the Holy Spirit has been giving me, and it's pray it. Lord, put me in your timeline. cause me. What David prayed, Lord, cause me to know. What did he say? Put me in your timeline. Cause me. Let the righteous slap me if I'm out of it. Rebuke me. Expose me. You know, it's like being at the right bus stop. No, it's like being at a bus stop, waiting for the right bus, or being at the wrong bus stop and waiting for the right bus, and it never shows. And people are not in God's timeline when the Lord says, everybody aboard, won't get aboard. They'll be left. 1 Timothy chapter 4, is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now the Spirit what? Expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Wait a minute. If they depart from the faith, where are they going? Are they falling away from Him? They're walking out of Him, aren't they? They're walking in their own will. They're walking according to their carnal precepts. They're walking to the, according to their own understanding. Their mind is not set up upon heaven. It is set upon themselves. Their distance of observation is short-sighted. They cannot see beyond their need or their want. Now, the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Hello, these are individuals that never make the unseen seen. They're always blaming everyone else, but not knowing that they're the problem because of their cooperation with the voice of the stranger. It says, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a what? Hot iron, of forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. In other words, they know the truth but refuse to submit to. They're deceived. They believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, but they're no longer walking according to the will of God. How many people know people like that? Man, you go out to the streets. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You want to hit? You want to drink? Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Here, meet the girlfriend I'm shacking up with. Does everybody get it? Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. No, I'm not. I don't fellowship. I just do my own thing. You know what I hear people say? I don't believe in corporate religion. Corporate religion. I don't believe in religion at all. But I believe in an assembling. Hey, if everyone here is carrying the presence of God, the more to come together, the more the presence. I love it. The more I get to drink then. Praise God. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, bless you. Man, turn my page from there. Sheesh. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Some people are probably getting sick watching this. Like, oh, God, how can he do that? Hallelujah. Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection. Going on to perfection means going on to what? Perfect time. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Listen, there should be a place where repentance is a part of your life now. You don't have to be reminded of it. Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines, of baptisms, of laying on of hands, or of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, you and I can't. This must be done by the Spirit of God. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Again, there's times when you and I just can't do anything. That's all we can do is pray for someone. And ask the Lord to draw them into the place of repentance. Lord, please have mercy. This is where the prayers of the saints are what's for protecting a person before the enemy takes them out. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, verse 17. Let's read this together, please. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, everyone in Christ means in him. He is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in him. That means three abidings. Abiding in him in prayer, relationship, amen. Abiding in him in the word, praise and worship. Abiding in him in assembling. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Get back in line. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Where? In him. In him. Amen? That, in other words, we renew back through repentance and become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. That's where self-righteous is actually pride. Now, the world does not understand righteousness. They understand self-righteous. They understand good. They understand evil. But they do not understand righteous, because righteousness is only manifested by eating from the tree of life. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces good and evil. Eating from the tree of life produces righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And there will be fruits that are manifested of it. Ephesians chapter 1. In him. You know, Jesus was the only one that could fulfill and restore the timeline. That's why he came. He set things back in time. Salvation's timeline. Glorious. I mean, you know, it overwhelms me sometimes. I'm supposed to be dead. I should be in hell. I shouldn't have anything. I should have been a beggar on the street, because I was. Taking showers out of hoses, sneakers out of garbage cans. See, I remember where I came from, and I maintain an attitude of gratitude. I remember what I didn't have and everything that I lost. But everything I have now in Christ is much more than any material I ever had, any relationships I've ever had, any family members I've ever had. In Christ is the greatest riches, the greatest comfort, and the greatest dad and the greatest friend I could ever have. Nothing can compare to that. Nothing. And that's where God wants us to be, in that timeline. We're only, it's you and him. So that no matter what goes on in your life, you know that he knows. It doesn't matter. See, the enemy tries to use everything to sway us out of timeline. He wants us to build treasures on earth. And there's nothing wrong with having things. But as long as your first focus and purpose is kingdom business in everything that we do. Everything. Ephesians 1, is everybody there? I could talk about my dad all day long. Yeah. In verse something. Are you there? Verse 3. Blessed be the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in what? Heavenly places in. So you got to be in him. You want to be blessed with every spiritual blessing, and you want to be seated in heavenly places, you must abide in him, because that's where the timeline is, your lifeline, and his perfect will. Just as he chose us where? In him. Before the foundation of the world. So we were in him before we were brought from him. Amen? See, we were in him before he even set time. We are in him before he did any creation, created time, anything. We are already in him. Can you grab that? So when he sent us into this world, the moment we were conceived, we lost who we are, where we came from. And we've been walking in this realm, not remembering who we were or never knowing, until we are born again. And what connects us back to the timeline through Jesus Christ and his Spirit. Because the whole time we were here, we were walking around. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? We were nomads. We were drifters. We didn't know what. We were strangers in the place. And the only thing we could do is cooperate with the things that we knew here, because we didn't know anything else. until Christ came into our life and he began to show us who we are. We're our identity of who we were before we came here was replaced back into us. Wow, I'm his offspring. Come on, think about it. You're an offspring of a creator of a universe. You know, we really don't really look at those things. Everyone say, I'm an offspring of the creator of the universe. Did you get that? So why do we busy our time with all kinds of stupid stuff when we're an offspring of the creator of the universe? Because the greatest weapon of Satan's kingdom is deception. And he tries to get us so busy. Because if you know the world, everyone you talk to in the world says, hey, how you doing? I'm busy. Yeah, I'm busy. So busy must be something good. No. Busy must be something deceptive. Because the world is being busy doing nothing. But in the kingdom, we're in unity of the Spirit being led to expand the kingdom. We're either kingdom builders or carnal builders. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Having what? Come on, read it with me. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ into himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all what? Wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed to himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness, there's a fullness of times where everything is pulled together. Whether in time, out of time, everything will be pulled together and judged. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him, in him, in him means three abides. Amen. Word, prayer, praise, worship, and fellowship. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in him, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory in him. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 5. Therefore what? Chapter 3, verse 5. Sorry. Colossians 2. Did I say 2? Okay. Colossians 2, verse 8. Hey, I'm getting back in the timeline. Beware. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Why? Because it takes you out of what? It takes you out of him, which is his will, timeline, and your lifeline. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and emptiness, deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to who? Christ. Not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what? Complete where? So if you're not in him, you're not complete. We become unstable, inconsistent. We become a place where God can't trust us. God trusts those who are in line. He can't trust those not in his timeline. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Look at, in him you are what? Also circumcised with circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in a working of God who raised him from the dead. and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. 1 John chapter 2. Glory. Training for reigning. Are you getting this? In verse 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read it, please. He who says, I what? He who says, I what? And does not what? Keep his command is a what? Ooh. Come on, that's real simple. Who says that I know him but doesn't abide is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself ought to walk just as he walked, if he abides in him. Why? Because we're in his timeline. Go to chapter 5. In verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? Burdensome. They're not burdensome. Why? Because when you're abiding in him, nothing's burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. That is a state of being born of God. That is a state of being born again. You're walking in that state of being. It's associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. Would you turn to Revelation 21? Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I want to close at Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Is it warm in here? Colossians 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. In other words, this is when you're in him. Everything that you look at, when you're in him, the Lord is always before you. David said that so powerfully. He said, the Lord is always before me. See, either before you will be the Lord or sin. Sin is always before you or the Lord, one or the other. Carnal is always before you. Carnal sin anyways. It's the presence of evil. Carnality. Does everybody get that? Why? Because it's associated with the world. People's agendas instead of God's agendas. Doesn't he laugh at ours? Yeah, okay, you're going to do this all right, yeah. David said that the Lord is always before me. So in everything that you're going to do, in every decision you make, the Lord should always be before you. When you wake up in the morning, he's before you. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. When you go to bed at night, forgive me, Lord, for every stupid thing I've done today. Command every corruptible seed to wither and die. Break and loose yourself from all emotional attachments, because you pick things up every day. So he's there in the morning. When you wake up, He's there when you go to bed, and he's before you in everything you do. Lord, what do you think, Holy Spirit, about this? What about this? Listen, I need your counsel on this. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will guide you in all of your paths. Commit your works to the Lord, and he'll establish your thoughts. See, this is when we're in him. You're either in him or out of him. But he's close to all of us, every single one of us. These are areas where we live now. It takes a conscious effort, setting your mind in motion towards the things of the Spirit. Every day, you have that choice. It's like going into a car. Unless you turn the key, it doesn't start. Amen? Unless you put it in drive, it doesn't move. You must cooperate. And the more you cooperate, the more you'll find yourself in the timeline of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Verse 3. Come on, read it with me. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yes. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and what? In all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on what? Put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Be thankful. Hi. Praise God. Hallelujah. In him. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask this seed to be protected. And Lord, we ask that you continue to cause us to be in you, in your timeline, in your will, which is our lifeline. Help us, guide us, teach us, and establish us for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring your offerings and tithes up.